I would like to read a psalm before we pray, Psalm 62 in its entirety, a psalm by David. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. We see that this man of God had fallen into many afflictions, but he had set his eyes and his hope on God. And we see that he was still able to encourage others to put their hope in God as well. He says here in verse 8, in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. I believe, beloved, that this is probably the best thing we can do too, that we pour out our hearts before him. If we pour out our hearts before people, they may not understand us. But the Lord, he understands us all. And he knows our hearts. And he alone is able to help, save, and strengthen. And so we have come again to offer his name, honor, and praise, and to lift up our eyes to him. And here David says so marvelously, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Yes, may it be so, that our souls also find peace, joy, and rest in the Lord alone. May God help us tonight, so that we can indeed switch off from everything and send our senses and thoughts up to him, and also see the finished work of Golgotha, which he has accomplished for us. There is peace and there is rest for the weary. And I believe we are all weary in the course of this time. But God wants to refresh us even tonight. Let us ask him for it, and he will give it by grace. Let us rise up for it. Faithful God, we are your people, the sheep of your hand. those whom you have called in these days. We stand here before you. You know our hearts. You know my heart and all our hearts. And David proclaimed, only when I look up to God is my soul still. Lord, you know our hearts, how troubled they are by this or that. But let us look up to you in this hour. Look up to you, that we may be still, and that we may receive peace, and that we may receive salvation and help. For all this comes from you alone. No one else can give us this, like you alone, O Lord. And that is why we look up to you. Looking up to you, O God, we want, Lord, that our souls may be still, that we may listen to what you have to say to us, even tonight. As we listen to your word, we know that you are speaking to us and that you mean well with us and that we will be helped, me and all of us. Give grace, O Lord, to speak and give grace to hear. Bless all of us who have come and also all those who cannot be here tonight. May you bless from the riches of your grace. We worship you and ask you, Lord, have mercy on us. Be close to us. Forgive us, Lord, our shortcomings. Forgive us our trespasses, Lord. Forgive us our transgressions, our sins, our mistakes, our infirmities. Lord, you know us. We are only human, forgetful and weak. Lord, have mercy on us, even in this evening hour, and help us. We have come together to offer your name honor and praise and worship. Be close to us, Lord. Bless also my brother who brings your word, Lord. Give him much grace and strength from on high. We need it. And bless all who are also visiting in our midst, Lord. Give grace. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord for the great privilege that we can be here again to worship, to thank our God. As I sat there, I pondered the thought, no one can be pushed into the kingdom of God, preached into it, prayed into it, sang into it. He must be born into it. He must be born into it. And if you then think about the fact that some people, especially if we come from believing homes, are automatically believers, and that sometimes causes difficulties. But then everyone can have and experience their own hour with God. But this is very important that we realize this, that we understand it. Everyone must have had their own personal experience with God. It doesn't work without that. A prophet, the apostles, relatives, acquaintances, they can all have had great experiences with God. And that can only strengthen you and me in our faith. But it cannot be enough for us. We must have a personal experience with God. And I hope that it won't be long before even the last ones have the certainty of salvation, that they really had a day and an hour in their lives in which they prayed through until certainty came into them through the Spirit of God, that they were pardoned, that they became children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. For me, it would be a great disappointment if people who have heard the Word of God clearly and truly year in, year out, were not among those whom the Lord will take home on that glorious day. And that is why we should always make every effort to keep in mind that it is not knowledge, not doctrine that saves us, but faith in Jesus Christ, in His blood shed for us on the cross of Calvary. Because that is where He made the new covenant with us. I have received a card, that is a letter from Brother Niels, which I am going to read out. Dear Brother Frank, thank you very much for your sympathy and your reef donation. United in eternal love was the best saying I have read. God's love always goes beyond death. Christians will always see each other again. I believe that you understand many things better because you have been through lows. I'm sure that spoke to his heart. How wonderful that we can say in truth that nothing has changed in the slightest from our side. I can say it with a clear view, with a sincere heart, with truthfulness, and we sincerely wish that everyone would come to the knowledge of the truth. And then there is this cross written here. May the love of God not separate us for eternity. Well, that is certain. The love of God has not yet separated anyone. The love of God has so far united everyone and still unites everyone. For God so loved the world. We all know John 3, verse 16. And so, we are grateful that our sympathy had something to say to him in the hour of trial. And he certainly read what was written on the ribbons of the many reefs. And that spoke to him. And we are very happy about that. Sometimes you neglect to do something during the lifetime. Well, then you catch up with it at the funeral. But we should be careful to actually do what we can during our lifetime to serve one another. And Brother Branham says, it is better to have a small bouquet of flowers during your lifetime than a large wreath after your death. Yes, sometimes we find it difficult, but we should just stay natural. You know, if believers don't remain natural, then it's a play. Believing people should remain as natural as they are, without a pious mask and without fuss. Now, when I think of Psalm 62, very unpleasant things come to mind. Verse 5, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. There are some striking days, scriptures, events that have left their mark, that have got under your skin, if not penetrated your marrow and bone. What moves me is that you hear a word that is precisely tailored to a situation and should and ought to be understood as a warning, and yet you don't hear it. That it is read, and yet you still don't realize what God had to say to you personally. But God goes on, time goes on. No day comes back, no opportunity comes again. And that is why we want to look ahead and with the Lord's help also go forward. It won't do us any good to look ahead unless we are seized by the grace of God and take to heart what Paul writes to the Philippians or claims for himself and says, forgetting what lies behind and reaching out to what lies ahead. But the lesson that I have to learn, that we all have to learn, is that we let God's word, as it is read, speak to us and keep asking ourselves the question, Lord, what do you have to say to me through this? Then we would pay attention. Then we would expect something and perhaps be prepared for it and be able to cope with it even more. But with God's help, we have heard it. When was it? On the weekend, on Saturday or Sunday, as the prophet put it, even when things go downhill, we cry out, it goes up again with God's help. And then it still goes forward with our Lord. My eyes already fell on Psalm 63, which Brother Brenham must have confused in his mind with that psalm in that sermon that he attributed to David. Here it says, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee, my soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. The men of God, as we can see from Psalm 62, in this case David, they have been through so much. But one thing remained with him, and it remains with you and me, that we can enter the sanctuary of God and be still. Earlier, he exclaimed several times, only in looking up to God is my soul still. Only from Him comes my help. He alone is my rock and my defense, and so forth. Then he repeats it. Only in looking up to God is my soul still. He alone is my rock and my help, my defense. Trust in him at all times, ye people, pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. These are all marvelous words. And the wonderful thing is that they have been written by the Spirit of God for our blessing and benefit on the basis of the most diverse experiences, so that we too can find our way to God in every situation of our lives. Only when I look up to God is my soul still. O God, you are my God. How many times have you said this? There are so many people, millions even, who say, there is a God, right? That is true. But blessed is he who can say, O God, you are my God. Not just a God, but personally, thou art my God. Thou art my Savior. Thou art my refuge. Thou art my salvation. Thou art my defense. To you, my soul is still. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Whoever has seen the land that is dried up and parched by the sun's heat, what kind of cracks there appear. I have sometimes seen it in Africa, especially once when I had to march a long way on foot through the coffee fields. What cracks there are. What will it be like when the rain comes down and everything is leveled again? Everything is fertilized again. Everything is evened out and people can cultivate the land. And the wonderful here is, and I looked for you in the sanctuary, not just anywhere, but in the sanctuary. He looked for him in the place where he spoke with God. We must do the same. If things are going haywire otherwise, when we come together here in the presence of God, then we look out for him. And now, there is something that reminds me of today's sermon, which we have translated to the end. To behold thy power and thy glory. Brother Branham actually said, I see the Holy Ghost here in the room. Now he's near the wall there. He comes over to this person and that person, moves forward here, goes back again. This a person has to imagine, that God, the Lord, actually comes visibly into an assembly in this case and hovers back and forth in the supernatural cloud, in this light, in the cloud of glory, in the assembly. And the people receive the blessing of God and experience the Lord. Isn't that something great? It was not difficult for such a man to say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was not difficult for him to say, God keeps his word, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there the Lord is in the midst of them. Not just as a promise, but as a fulfilled promise, as a reality. And that moved me anew, because we too are on the lookout for a visitation from God. Not just that we talk about it, you all know, in the richly blessed years, and I believe this, that the supernatural glory of God has been here in our midst many a time, and that now it is only our despondency or the situation we find ourselves in that pulls us down again and again, or me in particular, not you, but me, it pulls down again and again through all kinds of circumstances, and it is almost unbearable because we know that the Lord really is the same and that He stands by His word without ifs and buts, but with yes and amen. Not ifs and buts, but yes and amen. That's the way it is. And if we believe it from the bottom of our hearts and count on it, it will happen. It says, "Thus will I praise thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name." Now I want to read one more scripture, briefly, from Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, from verse 4. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished, and seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." But now comes the actual text. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places, whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. The lesson from this word is that God has set a specific time for everything. And if God has said anything in His Word, He will keep it for the specific time in which it is to happen. Then, when the time comes, they should call on the name of the Lord. Then He will hear. Then He will lead back, replant, turn their destiny around, for He has thoughts of salvation and thoughts of peace and not of calamity and discord. But even then, there were still people who created a mood among the people of God and told them things as it seemed in the name of the Lord, without Him speaking. And so the Lord God announced and prophesied through His prophet that the people should prepare to remain there for this period of time. And we see that God's counsel is always right. All the prophets could have fasted and prayed, and God would not have listened at all, because it would have been against His will. No one should pray against the will of God, because that only makes the voice hoarse and time is wasted. We must pray in the will of God. Before we pray in the will of God, we must dismiss all other voices and listen to the true voice of God that has spoken to us bindingly, and then also understand and respond to what the Lord has said to us. This text spoke to me. How much atmosphere and mood has been created over the years, and the greatest revivals have been announced. And what has happened? Will he find faith? Faith, as the scripture says, faith in him, faith in his word. Will he find people who have believed him from the bottom of their hearts when he reveals himself? To do this, we need to understand the way in which God's plan is unfolding at this time. And we realize that the Lord is walking a narrow path with us. We cannot do what we want, but only have one desire in our hearts: to do the will of God. Anything else will not last anyway. But back then, when the people of Israel were led away, they were all despondent. One blamed the other. There was discord among them. Everything was upside down. They were not in a good situation. And the prophets took advantage of this situation and always spoke mightily, promising and prophesying things to them, as we have read here. Then God intervened. He could not allow false hopes to be awakened in all these people that could never be fulfilled, and sent His prophet to give His people the instruction: 70 full years will pass. And what do we have to read in the prophet Isaiah chapter 9? Here it says that this man read the prophet Jeremiah to find out how long it would take and what the time would be when all these things would happen. In Daniel chapter 9, it says, from verse 2, In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. What was it? Every prophet has always followed on from what prophets of God have said, spoken, and prophesied before him in the name of the Lord. He searched the Holy Scriptures. He was not satisfied with what he himself or others taught or said. He wanted certainty about what God was doing with his people. Isn't it wonderful to know that God sent a true prophet in these days who searched the Scriptures, and the Spirit of God was able to reveal to him which prophecies were being fulfilled in these days? We have emphasized again and again that it is not about the prominence of a person, but when God does something, it would be foolish to pass it by, and it would be foolish not to listen to it, because a man sent by God speaks the words of God to the people of God. And we have said it often enough, it is the last authoritative message of God. And the Lord has made a general correction. And we must follow the Bible in everything. But we know what the situation is. We have all read the Bible, and not only we, but really many others have read it diligently without there having been the time for all the things that were meant for the last generation to be revealed. But now, because we are the generation or live in the generation for which certain prophecies were given, we must expect them to be fulfilled, because they were meant for this time. Daniel searched the Scriptures and read the word of the Lord that had been given to the prophet Jeremiah. How marvelous! A prophet did not pull revelations out of his sleeve. He read the Scriptures. He orientated himself on the Word of God. And the Spirit of God will always lead us into the Word of God. There is no other way. Any spirit that leads around the Word and out of the Word is not the Spirit of God. After experiencing this, he was deeply moved and driven into prayer. And then it says, so movingly, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. What was it? He recognized from the Scriptures, this is what God said. How many years had passed? I think 68 years, if I remember correctly, had passed at that point. And now the time had come before God got ready to bring his people back. He had a man who could search, who was led by the Spirit of God, who read the right word at the right time and was instructed in the right way and introduced to what God was about to do. Did not great men of God, whom Brother Branham mentions from time to time, read the same scriptures that he and we all read? Did they have a different Bible? No, certainly not. The same verses, the same chapters everywhere are still the same today. But it didn't light up. It didn't speak to them. There was no revelation because the time wasn't ripe for it. Now, the time has come and we are grateful. Who are we that God has given us so much grace to live in this most important generation in all of human history? Who are we that God has pardoned us in such a way that we do not need to listen to the many voices that speak from the heart on their own initiative, even if they take the name of the Lord in their mouths, but that we have had the privilege of discerning and listening, of weighing up who has actually spoken in the name of the Lord by God's commission. Beloved, that is more important to me than anything else. What use are 400 people to me if they all say the same thing when it's not true? Then I'd rather have the one who spoke in the name of the Lord in accordance with what Elijah had said back then, as the prophet Micah also prophesied. And he was so bold and courageous when Ahab called out to the others, "Put him in prison, and when I come back, I will take care of him." We all know how he took care of him in the manner of Ahab. But this man of God, he couldn't care less. He was under the guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He calls out to the king, "If you come back, the Lord God has not spoken through me." Isn't that a powerful thing? Would you have done that on your own? Our knees would have trembled. No, I rejoice over all the men of God, over all the men of God, including Daniel and the three men who said, "I want you to know this, even if our God does not come to our aid, what you have set up here is not our God. It is an idol, and we will not bow down to it." You can imagine that it got hot too. But then the furnace was made 7 times hotter, and that didn't help either. The Lord God stands by those in the hour of trial who stood firm when they had to pass the test in order to bear witness to him. And it will be no different for all of us. God stands by those who stand by him. But when? In the hour of trial. Oh, When everything goes gloriously and joyfully, we can sing along with the whole crowd, play along, then all is well. But when it suddenly says, "You too have been with this man," and he says, "Oh my fear, not I, I don't even know him." Oh Peter, his poor heart began to pound, and he thought, "My God, what will be next, right?" And then it wasn't over yet. Again someone comes. "Wait a minute, your language betrays you. You are from Galilee. You were also with this man." And he says, "Stop it, I don't know him at all." Oh, Peter. But we realize what he lacked. The power of God. Calvary had not yet happened. The blood had not yet been shed. There was still no redemption, no salvation, no renewal. It was the old Peter with many new and good ideas. But the old Peter, a new birth, was not yet possible. And the Savior was so loving. He said, "Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." So he followed the Lord, not yet converted. And then it went back and forth a bit. But what happened later? Later, he wept bitterly. He saw what happened on Golgotha. It was over for him forever. Forever. How might he have felt, our brother Peter? How might he have fared? How might he have felt? And then, this love with which he was showered by his Lord, whom he had denied. When the cock crowed, everything was, well, not too late. The hour had struck. How faithful is our God! He does not abandon anyone who confesses him, even if he doesn't quite react as he should in hours of trial. God has taken everything into account, and we can rely on the Lord and on God's grace 100%. And our God and Lord then restored to him so generously and gave him everything, always faithful to Jesus, as the song goes. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me." Yes, when the time has come, when the hour of God strikes, "then shall ye call upon me, and I will answer you. And when you pray unto me, I will hearken unto you." The hour has come. Our hour is the hour of God. And the hour of God is our hour. This is the day of salvation that God has made for us. The conclusion of the time of grace for the church from the nations. "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord." Yes, that was "thus saith the Lord." But it was timed. Here was not just something said, but clearly proclaimed according to God's plan. The promise that God had given found its fulfillment at the appointed time. And then you could pray, "God heard, call and he answered. Grace and salvation were there. And ye shall seek me and find me. When ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive, to the place where the church stood at the beginning, on the most holy foundation of faith, on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. She must return there. She will return there. And the Lord God has promised that at the time when He turns the fate of His people around, and the time is fulfilled, and the measure is full, He will turn everything around, hear us, and give us grace. This time is our time, and this time is now. It is your time and my time, our time. The Lord has sent His servant and prophet. He has made His plan of salvation known to us. And that was the time then, and that is the hour of God today. The hour of God was not after 10 or 20 years. The hour of God was when the time was fulfilled. And so it is in our day. May God give us grace to be steadfast in faith. And as David expressed, enter into the sanctuary of God. Look up to Him. Lift up our hands to Him. Pour out our hearts before Him. To Him our soul becomes still, very still. It becomes quiet in God. Be still, my soul, to God. And then it will be the same for us, that we will come to rest in God and say, Lord, Thy word has come to us. We have heard it from the mouth of your servant and prophet. We no longer listen to anyone. You have spoken to us. Everything else bounces off us. The seed falls into the heart and it closes. It no longer receives anything else, so that there is no further mixing. But the pure divine seed is sown and can then also be brought in as a harvest to the praise of the glorious grace of our God. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Faithful God, we thank you with all our hearts for your precious and holy word, which you keep before us again and again, also in this evening hour. We thank you for the prophetic word, for the marvelous and wonderful blessed thoughts that we have heard, and for all that we are allowed to perceive by grace. You have spoken at all times, Lord. Men of God have looked back on what you have spoken, even though they were mighty prophets. O God, we give you the glory, but we also want to look, Lord, at what you have spoken, Lord. We want to leave everything else behind us, Lord, and see only what you want us to see, O Lord. Worship and glory to your name. Amen.